Lego.
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 Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Back to Brick. I'm your host, Garrett, and this is the podcast where we get to talk with fellow AFLs from around the world about their Lego builds, and we get down to the breaking news every week for all the news Legos come out with. Today, we're going to have a designer interview from Aiden, or Aiden Rexford. You also know him by Aiden.builds. Aiden, first off, I just want to say thank you for coming on today. How are you?
I am good. Thank you for having me.
I can't wait to talk about some of your builds, and it's always fun to have another Lego aficionado come on the show. You know, just as we basically start off, we want our listeners to kind of get an inside look at what you like to build and where you're from. So if you could just give us a little background.
Yeah, I live in the Orlando, Florida area in the United States. I build a lot of things, actually, but I mostly build different creatures using Bionicle pieces. But I do dabble in system builds here and there and do some spaceships and castle builds, really all sorts of things, whatever I'm in the mood for building.
Yeah, I was going to say, just based on your Instagram and your Flickr page, no two posts are alike. It can go from an engine to a sea creature to just a basic tile display.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun to have that diversity, and I can't wait to, we'll talk about those a little bit here. First, I'll start off with my normal question of, if you had a sig fig that would represent you the best, what would it look like?
I don't really know. I don't dabble with minifigures much. I have a pretty big collection of them that I don't really touch, so I honestly have no idea.
Do you have a favorite minifigure that you've collected?
I kind of do, actually. The Lego Max figure from the like the old club magazines.
Yeah.
I have one with a green jacket that I got from Legoland a long time ago that I really like, just because it's a kind of a nostalgia minifigure for me.
That is cool. I love those the classic style yellow head. Does it have the Legoland shirt on? I'm guessing in the green.
It has. I don't know if it says Legoland on it, but it was like on the massive minifigure trading wall they had, and I was like, oh, that's a cool minifigure, and kind of knew what it was, and I was like, oh, cool, he's got a green jacket, whatever, and so I traded for him.
Nice. Yeah, that was always fun. I know that I haven't been to a Legoland in a while, but the employees now carry them too, I think, so you can trade with them.
Yeah, they used to do that when I went there as well, but I also haven't been in a long time, so
yeah. I think I was like 12 the last time I was there, so it's, and that was California, and now they have two that I still haven't gone to.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been to the one? I think it's just outside Orlando, what, about an hour or two?
Yeah, it's about an hour for me. I've been there once or twice, but even living over here, I haven't gone to it much.
Yeah, that's usually how that works. Mm-hmm. I'm about 2 hours from the New York one that just opened, and I haven't gone yet, and I was going to be, you know, opening day, I'll go, and never made it.
Yep.
How did your journey with Lego start? Do you remember when you got your first set?
Kind of. I think I was like 3 when, I don't remember half of where like I got them, but we had just a big bin of like normal bricks. Mm-hmm. And one minifigure torso and legs, no head. So we were like, okay, well, this is the characters they have and these are the bricks, and me and my brother would just build with them. And then we eventually got a Knight's Kingdom set. It was in like 2007 or 8 or something. And then pretty much after that, every Christmas and birthday and extra money I had as a kid was just, I want Legos. I want, you know, this set, that set. Yeah. And me and my brother were always doing that. And so we eventually amassed a very large collection of pieces. I don't know, I guess it's been like 5-ish years. 4 or 5 years now that I've been more seriously doing it as like an art thing instead of just messing around with pieces or building sets. And I kind of combined our collections and they're all kind of my pieces now.
And he relinquished control of them.
Yeah, kind of. He stopped building with them and I kept going even more than what we originally were doing. And so, but we're still living in the same house together. So not like he can't come over to my room and just build with them.
Yeah.
I just started messing around with pieces. I looked at a bunch of people online and was like, I want to build what they can build. But a lot of it was system stuff. And I was like, I don't think I have enough system pieces. It turns out I kind of did, but they weren't sorted out, so I didn't really know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I have some Bionicle pieces that I think I could do something with. And so I just started trying to build with Bionicle pieces and kind of took off, and that became my main building medium.
What drew you to using the Bionicles more so? Was it just the, for me, it's more of the flexibility, because in the mm-hmm. system of bricks, it's pretty rigid.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of both, similar to what you said, looking online and seeing a bunch of people's Bionicle builds. And I was like, wow, that doesn't even look Lego. Or, you know, oh, wow, look at how flexible that is. Looks like an action figure that, you know, you get to build yourself. And so that plus me not thinking I could actually build system builds very well, I was like, well, let me try Bionicle builds. And then I realized I wasn't half bad. And so I just kind of kept doing that. And then eventually sorted out my system stuff and messed around with that. But I mostly just did Bionicle because I kind of just fell in love with it when I started.
Nice. And it's easy to continue with that too, because there's just a plethora of those kind of bricks, but it also seems that you've not just used those, but you've blended them with some system bricks.
Yeah, I definitely started doing that more as I got more experienced and looked at how other people built. It's super easy to just be like, oh, use the standard, you know, Hero Factory bones or Bionicle limbs and make a character. But once you build with it more, you realize, okay, well, these system pieces kind of lend themselves to working with Bionicle pieces, and you can kind of combine them for the shapes you want.
Yeah, and being able to like have that flexibility, that's what I was looking for. It definitely adds to the detail. Do you remember which kind of character, did you build a character, I'm guessing, out of the Bionicle pieces?
Yeah, the first one, it was like, I don't even remember. I think it's still on my Instagram. It's just at the very bottom or something. It was like a red eagle character. And so it was like, it kind of was like angel-esque with like angel-like bird-like wings.
It's got, I think I've seen it, it's like got gold wings, or is it a Bionicle character?
Yeah, it's like gold and red, but it was super simple and was pretty like standard Bionicle with a little bit of custom limbs and stuff. But that was the first one I did. And I was like, oh, it kind of looks good back then. But now I look back and I'm like, yeah, that's what happens when you start. It doesn't look that good.
You realize how far you've come, and then you like, everyone has their humble beginnings though.
Oh yeah.
You grow from.
Mm-hmm.
From there, it looks like you started kind of with still like mechanical figures and kind of system stuff. How did you kind of get the confidence to now use system builds?
I think a lot of it was eventually sorting out my collection and really seeing, okay, I actually do have a lot more system pieces than I thought I had. Because before, they were all just in like big tote containers just under our bed. They were all mixed in. Everything was mixed together except for the Bionicle pieces. And I was like, oh, well, if I'm going to build system, I have to root through the whole thing just to find one piece. But I took like an entire summer to sort most of my collection. That helped me see a lot better. Like, okay, I do have system pieces and I can't actually try and do system stuff. And again, you know, looking back, some of my system stuff also wasn't the best, but, you know, we learned, and so now it's a little bit better than what it was before.
Now, when you say you've learned, are you talking about learning through other people on Instagram, or do you have a specific following of people that you like to learn from? I guess it can be pretty broad.
It can. I definitely learned a lot just through trial and error, especially recently. A lot of my build process is try putting two pieces together, and if it doesn't work, I take it apart and try it again. I just keep trying different pieces in different spots until it works. A lot of that just like comparing. So like I'll build something and then be like, okay, why does mine not look as good as somebody else's? Like what did they do that makes theirs look so good? And then trying to kind of replicate that in my next builds. But I think one of the biggest pieces of advice, I guess, that helped me learn to build better was from a Brick Journal magazine. They were doing an interview with a guy. He was like, build within your limits. Like learn your part limit, learn how many pieces you actually have and your skill level, and build within those limits. Once I started doing that more and wasn't like pushing my part count or the parts that I had available to the max, and was kind of running out near the end, then things started to look a little bit better because they are consistent throughout the whole build.
That's a really good piece of advice because, you know, a lot of people are limited by the bricks they have, and it can be pretty expensive to go out and buy a bunch of bricks. And believe me, from firsthand account, I like to build pretty large builds, and then you realize, holy cow, that's how much just to get the pieces I need, instead of using the pieces I have, which I'm not very good because I have not sorted anything yet. I still have things that are still in the box too. So definitely a challenge for not just me, but I know a lot of people probably have the same difficulties.
Yeah, I've definitely seen a few people talk about that, and they're like, oh, I want to build, but I don't have the right amount of pieces. You don't necessarily need all the pieces in the world. You just got to figure out how to use what you have.
Yeah. So when you start a build, how does that process kind of work? Do you just kind of start pulling items with the design in mind, or do you kind of build by, you know, picking a piece and saying, oh, this could be this?
Kind of both. A lot of times I will just grab out random pieces that I think are neat or interesting and be like, okay, how, you know, what does this piece look like something from real life or something that like some sort of creature that I've seen, like some sort of art like that. Or I'll be bored one day and just be messing around with pieces, and there'll be a connection that like works really well as like a head or a limb, and I'll be like, okay, well, I can make something work with this, and kind of start branching out a build from that. And then occasionally, especially with real life things, like I've done a horse before, and I've done one or two like more real life creatures. I'll use a lot of pictures of the real animal as reference points and have to find pieces that work to build different parts of the creature to make it look as accurate as possible.
Now, what you're saying, photos, I mean, most of the creatures you've built don't look very real. So are you using like fantasy photos or concept arts to do these? I mean,
You've
got dragons and serpents and all different manner of creatures.
Yeah. Some of them I'll take fantasy art. Some of them I'll just look and be like on Pinterest or whatever and be like, creature fan art, or, you know, fantasy dragon art, or, you know, whatever, and just look around for inspiration there. And some of them are also from like other artists or whatever. There's one or two, like I did a magpie, which is a like a type of bird. And so that one was specifically looking up pictures of magpies and replicating the color scheme and shaping of the bird. And I've done like a butterfly. But yeah, a lot of them are more fantasy art than like real pictures. But every once in a while, I make a real animal.
I mean, it's always fun to kind of just go and not think of something in reality, because then you have the creativity to kind of make it whatever you want.
Yeah, it is. It's very limiting and tricky. If it's a real thing, you have to make it look real. There's no real, like, a dragon. There's no one way to build a dragon, you know?
Right.
So I can build it with six limbs or six wings or, you know, two heads, and it still looks like a dragon.
Yeah, and you have quite a few dragons. What kind of pulled you to that kind of creature to make?
I don't know, actually. To be honest, I like dragons. Like, who doesn't like dragons? And I think growing up and stuff, I kind of looked at seeing other builders build dragons and stuff. I was like, wow, those look like super cool and like super impressive. Like, I want to try and build something like that. Kind of sparked me into like, okay, you know, how can I build a dragon?
And then using that, your techniques with the Bionicle pieces and the systems, you kind of went from there, because you have some that are more just like serpents instead of the full-on dragon. And what I like is they're very clean. You don't have many studs on top pieces, and that it goes for all your builds. Was that a direct choice, or is that just what kind of came of your designs?
A lot of it is, some of it's my choice and some of it's the parts that I use. Because, again, Bionicle and Technic pieces, a lot of most of them don't have studs on top. And so that does help when I use a lot of Bionicle pieces. Then there's not a whole lot of studs to have to cover up anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But I do my best to make most of my builds very smooth and more realistic without seeing a whole lot of studs. But every once in a while, I'll allow a few to show, whether it's just because it looks bad when they're covered up or to add a little bit of texture here or there.
some that I can just bring up through your photos. You have an interesting take on a katana. You've done longsword from Game of Thrones. And then most of your creatures are pretty no studs up. Like you said, just based on Bionicle doesn't have many studs.
Right.
In other builds, you have, you know, spacecraft. How did you get these parts? So most of them are kind of unique. You've got, they're kind of the donut shape. I always just call them a donut. But did you have those in your collection? Or do sometimes you don't have the pieces when you go, you first start your builds?
Yeah, I do have, I have a pretty sizable collection from growing up building Legos as a kid. But that, those donut pieces specifically, I got off a pick-a-brick wall. But sometimes I do need to buy pieces. But as I've gotten older and been like, ah, that's a lot of money, I do my best to not have to buy pieces for builds as often anymore. But I'll, I get a lot of my special, like, specific pieces or large amount of pieces off of Bricklink.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of, if you're, if you've been in the community for even a little bit of time, you should know what Bricklink is. So I do a lot of looking around on there, and I've spent more hours than I care to share on Bricklink looking at all the inventoried parts and being like, what neat parts exist that I've never heard of?
Yeah. I mean, I always do that. Like, I use Studio to build most of the time because I have a big parts collection, just like you said, it never sorted. I have no idea color wise, and that you dive into, oh, what else is in this turquoise or transparent purple, and you find some very unique pieces that you never thought were in those colors.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's super fun too, because then that also is something that inspires me, is when I'm like, I get a Bricklink order in or something that I ordered for a build, but then I'm like, well, I'm paying $5 for shipping, so I might as well get a few other pieces that I might use eventually.
Might as well.
Yeah. And then I look through, I'm like, oh, this is a neat piece that I kind of forgot I ordered. Let me see if I can build something with this.
Yeah, and then you realize that, oh, actually, I need another piece for this build. I'll get a couple more. And it just mm-hmm. it kind of stacks on top of each other there.
Oh, yeah.
One that really caught my eye is your giant squid. Talk to me about how that was conceived, because you're not just using Technic pieces, but you've got, like, it looks like tires, some other key pieces to make it get that iconic eye and the teeth.
Yeah. Let's see. So it originally started with the mouth, actually. I got in lug bulk pieces that I had ordered through a big online lug with a bunch of Bionicle builders in it. And I was just playing around with those pieces when I got them. And there's a new steering wheel piece that has a 3.18 millimeter bar connection on it. And it's like basically a full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use that to make a lot of connections to allow me to add a lot of teeth to something. And I just built all the teeth, the whole teeth area. And that was it. And I was like, I have no idea what else I could use this for besides besides a squid. Like, it's the obvious choice for me. That kind of started it. I got the tires idea. The tire, inverted tires as tentacles, I think, has been around for ages. When Bionicle, like, first came out, people were doing that for different builds. So I got that. I kind of got that idea from just inverting tires for other builds and other people doing that. But that kind of was my go-to idea for tentacles. And the rest of it was a technical nightmare. Structure and
strength getting, and,
yep, yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. And getting the top tentacles are surprisingly heavy. So making sure that they don't, like, fall and crush the teeth on the inside, so that it, like, stays a ring of teeth, was tricky, because there's not a lot of room to actually, like, do anything there. So I spent, like, a good week or something just trying and retrying different Technic configurations to get it to actually, like, stay in place. And then the back, I just slowly started moving back from the mouth and tentacle area once I finally got that done. Then this is really where I did a lot of trying and retrying different pieces, was just, I just had all of my, like, black, smooth Bionicle pieces and Technic pieces and system pieces out. And I was like, okay, I'm going to take all of these and just put them in the exact same place until one works and fits perfectly, and then figure out how to connect it to the body. I think I spent like 2, two and a half weeks or whatever, just doing that for the entire rest of the body.
Yeah, that's an intense just manipulation right there. Mm-hmm. How long do you think it took for you to build it in its entirety?
I think I calculated about a month of on and off building.
Now, is that long for you to do a build or kind of just average?
I think for a bigger build, it's kind of average. I think I've normally spent about close to a month on a lot of my largest builds.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's on and off building. So some days I'll build for like 3-4 hours. And then some days when I have a busy day at work or something, then I don't really get to build at all.
I mean, yeah, pretty standard for people when they have work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of times I'll try and take pictures of builds as I work on them. Mm-hmm. So I think the first picture I took was on the 11th, August 11th. And I actually finally took the pictures on September 25th. Somebody can do the quick math on how long that actually took, but I think it's over a month.
It's a good bit of time.
Yeah.
For your photos, how do you go about doing that? Is it just kind of a standard photo booth where you have the white backdrop, any specific cameras? Because some people, and I agree, that taking photos is a key part of building mocks because, you know, you can make it look great, but if the photo doesn't show it as being good, then it's not something you want to show to everybody.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Taking good pictures definitely improves how people see your builds, especially online. It's a lot of wow factor. So if your picture looks good, then people are going to be drawn to it. Mm-hmm. I used to use a standard like photo box with like diffusing paper on the sides and the pre-put in poster board or whatever. But that eventually broke and I wanted more colors than just white as my background. And so I just got other poster board from like Michael's Crafts or Walmart or whatever, any kind of art store, big supply chain store. I just set it up on my desk and use like clips to clip the top in, give that subtle curve so that it kind of has that, there's no like creases or corners on it to kind of distract from the build. Camera wise, I'll be honest, I'm not a camera person. I barely know how to use the camera I do. But I got very fortunate because my brother is like a professional photographer. And so he lets me borrow his camera and he's taught me how to use it.
That's like, convenient.
Yeah, minimally. So I'm like, I don't know how I would be taking pictures if he wasn't there and knew all this stuff because I'd be like, I don't even know how to work this camera. He's helped me with that, and he's helped show me a lot of tricks for photography and stuff. It's not really a secret. I just haven't really mentioned it before, but I take pictures a little differently than everybody else, at least from that I've seen. A lot of people will use like either natural lighting, like they'll go outside and take pictures in the sun, or they'll use artificial lights to like light the whole scene up or whatever. But my brother taught me a trick that I use. Most of my new pictures, I actually use a flash instead of artificial lights. But instead of like having it directly pointed at the build, I reflect it off of the roof of my room down onto the build. And so it gives a very, I don't even know the word, like it spreads the light out over the whole thing very evenly.
It's what do they call that? I know what you're talking about because like the same with, you want soft lighting instead of harsh lighting. That's what a flash is. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I take most of my pictures, and it just makes it easier, so I don't have to bring out, like, I don't have to go buy lights to set up. I can just use the flash that he has, and that works pretty well for most things.
And very convenient, too, so you can save on that.
Yeah.
You know, looking at all your builds, like we've talked about, you have quite a few of just random and all over the place builds. Do you have any that you're working on now or in mind for the future?
Kind of. I have a few that are finished that are for an upcoming project, so I can't really talk about those right now, but I do have some stuff that will be coming out, I think, sometime in November, December, that I'm pretty happy with. And then I have a few things that are like half finished that have been sitting on my shelf, some of which have been there for like a year or something that I haven't touched since.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even tell you how many files I have that haven't been completed. And fortunately, they're out of sight, which means they're out of mind. Mm-hmm. I'm building on a computer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're on the bottom shelf of my bookshelf, tucked in the corner. So half of them are in the dark all day.
Yeah.
Nothing super direct that I'm planning on working on.
Mm-hmm.
But at least in my opinion, most of my good builds are spur of the moment, messing around with pieces, and things start working together well within a week or two or a month, depending on how big it is. Then I have something, and I don't really plan much.
You don't always have to plan, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like you said, it's kind of a spur of the moment thing, which gives you a creative edge.
Yeah,
I would say I love like your long sword, which is cool. I always think like I'm surprised no one's done Narsil, which is the sword from Lord of the Rings, as the broken form. I've seen it, you know, completed, but that would be a fun build as a, you know, suggestion, if you take suggestions.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that later, maybe. I definitely have thought about doing more swords and stuff. And I was at a small convention in Florida, and people were saying I should build a shield. And I was like, maybe, but that's a lot of pieces.
Yeah, I know that I interviewed, was it Bricker Builds? And they did Captain America's shield.
Mm.
And I don't know if they did. I think they just did Zelda's sword. I didn't think it was the greatest, but it was, you know, it's still nice. But I feel like his shield is pretty iconic, the classic shield logo of Zelda.
Yeah, I think I might have seen that. I saw somebody do one like that, so it was probably them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might take you up on that offer. We'll see. I've been wanting to do it. I've been wanting to do another one, but I also don't know if I have pieces to build too many more.
Yeah, I was going to say, now, when you build these, do you have the mindset of like, oh, I should build instructions, or do you mostly just build for yourself?
I build for myself first. I don't even have instructions in the back of my mind in anything that I've built, except for one build, and that was a commission for a real life friend. I actually ended up building that digitally before I built it in real life, and so mm-hmm. I kind of made instructions for him just in case it came apart or something.
Yeah.
But for the most part, besides that one, everything's just been built for me. And if it works for me, then it works. I'll tell you, if I tried to make instructions for half of my builds, it would be a technical nightmare. Not only for me, but for whoever's building it. Because I would be like, that's how I did that? I don't look forward to putting that back together.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd have to kind of like reverse build. And then if you build it digitally, which that's usually what I do. If there's someone that has a really cool design and they don't have instructions, I'll kind of reverse engineer it to build it just by photos. And then sometimes just in my own builds, I start out the same way, digitally design, because otherwise I'll completely forget how I did something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what some of my builds that have been together for a while, I've had to take apart here or there. Just because things have fallen off or they've come apart for some reason. And I'm like, I'm trying to remember, how did these pieces go together again? And then I eventually figure it out. But I'm like, oh, okay, that's how it goes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you're like, how did I do that technique before? And then you have to take it apart just a little bit. And you're like, yep, there it is.
Yeah, yep. And then you can put it all back together.
Yeah. And do you have any, I guess, future plans with Lego, or is it just kind of still a hobby to build? And I mean, that's kind of me. I do the podcast more as a hobby than anything, but it's fun if you have future plans too.
Yeah. Nothing set in stone right now. It's definitely been in the back of my head for a while. I'm still young though. I'm 18. Yeah. So yeah. I don't necessarily need to set in stone a career. But right. I have thought about trying to go down a Lego design path or something Lego related as a job, living close to Legoland as one thing possibly,
mm-hmm.
or trying to become like a proper Lego designer or something. Nothing super serious. I do buy and sell Legos on Bricklink as mm-hmm. a little Bricklink side thing. Yep. That helps fund my addiction now of building. I don't really have to take money out of other places. It's all if I've made money from selling Legos, then I can use that to buy pieces here or there. And that's all my money that's that useful. I can use for Lego.
Yeah.
So, but nothing direct, but I'm still thinking about career stuff like that.
Like you said, you have time. It's always just something I've had in the back of my mind, and I know it's, especially for people who have the knack for doing it, it's fun to think about because it gives you an opportunity, you know?
Yeah. I just don't want, because I've heard people who have gone from it being a hobby to a job, and some people love it, and they, you know, they love it as their job now, and some people, it ends up burning them out.
Yep.
So definitely trying to weigh the options and be like, do I want to risk it? Because I don't want to, you know, I love it as a hobby, but if it burns me out as a job, then I don't want it to kind of ruin my hobby.
Yes, completely agree. I did commissions for a while and kind of got burned out, and that's just commission work. But, you know, I would love to work for Lego too. And yeah, you don't want your hobby to turn into something you hate.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
As we kind of wind down the interview here, I always like to talk about this point. You know, you've built with Lego for a while, and as you continue to grow in your skill set, as you've discussed, how do you think in general Lego has affected or changed your life?
Big, deep question. Let's see. It's definitely, how has it? I've definitely met a lot of cool people online through Discord and Instagram and stuff, which is super cool. And hopefully next year I'll be able to meet a good few of them in real life at some big Lego conventions. I look forward to seeing how that works out. It's definitely given me something to do in my free time. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely been helpful for that. And it's something really enjoyable. So I've been able to have a lot of very fun-filled days, even when I can't really go outside or I can't really go hang out with people or do anything, then I can still have fun like that. I think that's a lot. I've just met a lot of cool people and been able to have a lot of really fun interactions. It has taught me a few art things and stuff like that. It's a lot of Lego specific things, so it doesn't translate like crazy well into other things.
Yes, but I completely agree. I don't want to interject in that, but I agree with like you're meeting people, and I think it does apply in real life because, like you said, you've been creative.
Yeah.
You've adapted to being artistic in, you know, certain ways, and having you kind of jump into the Lego community has given you the freedom to be creative and find like-minded people.
Yeah, you are 100% right, and I definitely forgot about that. That's something I've thought about too. I'm like, I wish people were more creative these days. Like, people just think, oh, once you become an adult, you're not supposed to be creative and have fun like that. You know, you're supposed to be serious and have a normal job and not really think outside the box as much. But I'm like, that's my life. That's what I do with Legos. And so I definitely do think you're 100% right that it has kept my creativity going pretty well.
Finding friends that are the same way is fun because then you guys bond over it all and adapt. Like, you find a group of people that love Bionicle and a group of people that hate it. And you kind of, you learn from why certain people like this and they build this way. That's why I love to do these interviews, because I get to see a broad spectrum. Like, someone only likes to build furniture and someone only likes to build this, and someone can build 70 different styles of something.
Yeah, it's definitely really fun to get to talk with a whole bunch of different people and kind of learn how they build. And it just helps, it helps you grow, and it kind of fuels your passion for Lego as well.
Yeah. And hopefully that's what I'm trying to do here with the podcast. And for everyone out there, like, take your time to be creative and find like-minded people. It's fun. And just like you said, conventions are always fun to go to, and I highly recommend people go, and maybe you'll be there with a table to display some stuff, which would be cool.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm planning, I think, Bricks Cascade in Oregon. I plan on going to that one. And I plan on going to Brick Fair, Virginia. And I think those are the two big ones that are out of state that I plan on going to next year.
Nice. Yeah, I went to Brick Fair, Virginia this year, only about an hour away. So it's a great time. Tons of people to meet.
Yeah, a lot of the Bionicle guys go to that one. And so yes. I was going to try and go this year, but some things got in the way of plans. And so I had to bail. But hopefully next year we'll make it happen.
Yep. Yeah, always another year. And for everyone out there, you know, do the same. Just find your community and have fun. And definitely, like, go check out Aiden's builds. They're really fun and unique because of the blend of System and Bionicle. You can check out his Instagram and Flickr at aiden.builds. You can also go to his MockHub page. If there's a couple that you might want to purchase, he's got a couple instructions over there. And you can appreciate his work and keep being creative. So, Aiden, I want to thank you again for taking the time to come on today. It was really fun talking with you about these builds. And I can't wait to see what you come out with next.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And for everyone out there, as I said, go and check out his great builds. And then you can always come back and listen to other designers who have some just super unique builds, as we said. Everyone's got a different style. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast at Back to Brick on your favorite podcast. And you can also follow us on Back to Brick 2, our Instagram page. If you're interested in coming on the show or being a part of the team, just send me a message. And I'll leave you, as I always do, get creative, get out there, and go build something.